Okay, good morning or good evening to you, Tim. We have got here Tim England, who is from Sydney in Australia, who was in the corporate world and has now changed that to become a dementia champion, which he has been doing for the past 10 years. Incredible story. And what we have done is we thought that we would get some of the thoughts from Sydney about his, from Tim about his experience with regards to dementia in Australia. So the first thing I'd like to ask you, Tim, is what made you get involved with dementia?
Well, hello, Phil. Thanks for the opportunity. That's a good question. I got involved with this area of dementia probably from 2007. Before that, I was very much in corporate. I had to help my brother go through his journey. He was diagnosed with brain cancer, quite severe. He lasted about 9 months, and I was involved very much with his direct caring. And from that experience, I learned a lot about the aged care sector and, let's say, the opportunities that lay within it. And my wife also noticed that I had a very much a caring capability within me, which I never knew I had. So after he passed on and after a few other changes in corporate and I didn't want to do it anymore, I moved into the community range of community care, being a carer out in the community. And I just clicked. I clicked with people with dementia and their families and saw that they had they were lost. They needed assistance. So I just worked with them. And from that, I just developed the education, I got more involved, I started teaching other people, I eventually went to university, got some higher qualifications. Here in Australia, we have a thing called the Bachelor of Dementia Care. There's only about 100 of us with that particular degree at this point in time. And from then on, I've been very much involved with the community aspect of education and raising awareness of this condition and supporting people. That's what I do.
That is tremendous, Tim. And so based on your experience with regards to education, what do you think is the most important piece of information that you will tend to pass on to people?
What dementia really is. There is so much misinformation, so much miscommunication, not just in the general public, even in the medical fraternity as well, just what dementia really is. There is astonishing. You've probably seen the reports as well. There's been that much analysis done globally that people don't understand dementia is a terminal condition, that they don't understand that it's not a natural part of aging, that it's actually caused by disease or diseases. And people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s can develop it. That basic information, the general public just don't know about.
Absolutely. And you tend to speak to many groups. Is it just within your locality in terms of Sydney, or do you go elsewhere?
At the moment, for probably the last 2 years, it's been mainly Sydney-based, purely because up until, gee, probably August last year, I've been a one-man band. I've been by myself. Now I've got a working group and we're forming a dementia alliance. So there's more of us now. So we're now beginning to branch out. But up until probably the last 18 months, it's been purely in my local area, an area of just north of Sydney called Ku-ring-gai. Don't worry about the name of that. It's a geographical area just north of Sydney, like Surrey is part of England. Ku-ring-gai is part of Sydney. There's about 16 suburbs in that area. There's about 120,000 residents. We've now hosted 77 free public education workshops to the community, and we've attracted over 1,900 residents to these workshops.
And I think this is an important point to capture, Tim, because you, as we said, were in the corporate background. What would you say to someone who was coming up, say, to that period of transition, retirement? What would you say to encourage them to do something as tremendous as what you have done?
Well, there's a lot of people who are, let's say, mature age, people in their 40s or 50s or 60s who are looking for a change. They're tired. And some of them are scared saying, should I get into the caring role or, is it icky? It's not. It's basic stuff. It's caring for individuals. And we're not mean caring from a medical perspective. It's like when we care for our children growing up. We want them to be protected. We want them to be safe. We want them to be understood. It's exactly the same techniques, just applied to a different cohort of people.
Wonderful. One of the other things that you had mentioned that you have a lot of experience with and a passion for is advanced care planning with dementia.
Correct. Absolutely.
What exactly does that mean?
Okay, well, for those who are not too sure, and you know, people sort of understand what advanced care planning is. It goes under different names in different countries, but basically it's putting together a plan for someone to follow, like health professionals or family members, for a loved one when they're no longer able to speak for themselves or communicate for themselves regarding their medical treatment. You know, like what to do if something happened to an individual. And unfortunately, on the area of dementia, that's just an area that's just not looked at all. You know, it's time consuming, it's horrible conversations to have with family members to talk about what happens in the event of someone's death, or they can't speak anymore, or they can no longer receive nutrition. You know, what do we do? But they are conversations that we need to have as decent human beings. We want to understand what our choices are, why we're in a position to make those decisions, while we're still before the cognitive decline have got to a point where we can no longer make those decisions.
One of the difficulties is that I know from experience that many doctors are not necessarily very comfortable with having those detailed discussions with families.
No, they're not.
Can they go?
That's the scary thing. There's a lot of places they can go, but they don't know where to go. That's the issue. I imagine the UK is very much like an Australia. In fact, you guys are so far ahead of us. You've got a lot of support networks and support silos out there that will render assistance. People just don't know where to go. So I act as that conduit, and my colleagues do, to give people that information and have that sit-down conversation with them, say, okay, have you done an advanced care directive? What's that? Okay, let's go back to that. Let's talk about that. Let's give you some paperwork. Let's start asking those questions. It's a liquid conversation. And unfortunately, doctors and RNs, as big as their hearts are, don't always have the time to have that awkward conversation that humans want to have.
I think from a medical perspective, I think part of the difficulty as well is the time. That's not a conversation you can do in 5 minutes.
No,
and
not
oftentimes
at all.
When your time is constrained, you either rush through it where it's not done efficiently or properly, when it really needs sometimes an hour or 2 hours of time to really dig into what the perspectives of the family and what the individual would have been.
Absolutely. And it's not just a 1 or 2 hour conversation. That conversation can take over several days, weeks, or even months. It's very liquid. And it is time consuming. One of the ways we get around it is we host a series of what we call dementia cafes. Again, I know in the UK they are quite, there's a lot of them. In Australia, it's still a new thing. And during that, while we're at those dementia cafes and we're building a level of trust and rapport with the carers who are there, and they let down their barriers to start openly talk, we can have that conversation, a sidebar conversation then and then, or invite, you know, get the opportunity to go meet the family and have discussion with the family about future options based around the beliefs and just desires of the individual, which they're going to be caring for as time goes on. Yes, some of the conversations can be a bit hard at first, but I've not had a single family yet who've come back to me saying, everyone's always said, thank you for taking the time out to have this conversation, to make us start, because it just takes the burden off their shoulders.
Wonderful. I'm going to end on a very important point with this. If you were speaking to someone in another part of the world, not necessarily the UK, and this is such an important thing, what would you say to them, especially with that thought of advanced care planning? How could they, if they wanted to help other people, get involved with something like this?
They've got to have the courage to have the initial conversation. And we're not talking about have to get into, say, the nitty-gritty. Say, yeah, have a chat with someone. Say, look, yeah, if something happened to you, what would you like done? And they're going, well, I'd like this or not this. And have you had that conversation with your loved one? Have you had that conversation with your mother or your father? We've kind of said, you really have to have have the courage to do it. So many people will say, oh, we'll deal with it later. because we're dealing with dementia and it's a cognitive decline issue, later you don't have that option. A lot of times when a diagnosis has happened, the condition could be quite advanced, so you need to act reasonably quickly, at least to get the conversation on its way.
Now, you had shown us a little document that you guys used.
Yes, I did. Yep, I'll show it to you again. This is the black and white version. Okay. It's done by...
Is that online?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I just downloaded it. It is a simple information pack. It speaks about... It's very simple questions and answers. And at the very, very back, there is the document for them to fill out. It's a tick and flick. As in, what do I want this or I don't want this? And I guide families through that. And I leave it with them. And they can just sit there and laugh. And just ask questions like, just for example, here we go. There's a little tick and flick section right there. And it says, if I can no longer recognize my family and loved one, to me life would be either acceptable, unbearable, or unsure. So they can rate for themselves, if things changed, how they feel about it. So they can make the decision, well, you know, do I want external resus application done to me or not? And that is our legal right to express that if we are conscious in an emergency department. With a level of dementia, someone has to take on the responsibility of making those decisions for you. Wouldn't you like, as the loved one, to express to your family beforehand, this is what I want, and more importantly, this is what I don't want?
Absolutely. I tell you what I'll do, Tim, is at the end, I will put on the link. I'll get it from you afterwards.
Absolutely.
So that even anywhere in the world, if someone sees this, they at least have a template that they can use that could be of benefit.
And the beauty is...
Thank you very much.
Just to help you with that, just that last little bit, I don't know about in the UK, but in Australia, this document is a legal document. So once they fill it out, it's legal.
Perfect.
No solicitors, no lawyers. Once you've filled it out and you signed it, it is now a living document. It will come into place if and when required.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Tim. This has been much appreciated, and I think this was tremendous. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, evening. It looks great in Australia there.
It is stunning. As I said, I'm sitting on my balcony now, watching the sunset, and yeah. And after we finish this call, I'll be enjoying a nice glass of wine.
Wonderful. Thank you.